The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Aha! What in the world is good, everybody? Thank you all for tuning in. You're rocking with the boys over at Man to Man, where we bring a unique vibe to the traditional sports talk show. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott.
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the Hoopstar Nash.
Hoopstar, talk to me. What's good, my guy? You still got the beard. At least you got the stash, because girls say they don't like the beard without the stash is what I noticed. I mean, I don't have anything, but you're looking good.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep growing it out, see how long I can get it. Have you ever seen those, you know, biker beards that just have the...
You trying to get a little biker beard going, dude?
Hell no, but I definitely...
You rocking a biker beard, dude.
Nah, that ain't for me. Not that.
But okay. I like
the little scrubby scrub.
Little scrub. Okay. Got some dandruff in there, though, my guy.
Don't do me like that. I'm not the one.
Okay. We're on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. We're man to man. We kind of don't know what the hell is going on half the time, but we try to shoot our shit, right? And so you can find us on all streaming platforms at man to man space. Throw a podcast after that. Throw the sub. Throw the like, the review. Damn it. Get your damn merch, man. We got new merch in the works. A lot of other cool things. We got a big, big interview for you guys today. So stay tuned with that. But yeah, we're good over here, Liam. We always do our little girl problem thing. I ain't got no damn girl problem this week because I took a lady out last week. Felt the vibe. You kind of wait a week. Dating is so weird, man. I don't know what to do. I ain't got no damn game. So I waited an exact week, texted her yesterday on Friday, we're recording on Saturday, and I said, hey, what you got going on this week? Straight up, there's Casper in my closet. So it's pretty much just got straight ghosted. It's another legend of nice guys finishing last, man. So that's why we do the podcast. So everybody listening out there, yes, we skip therapy. Yes, we do a podcast.
I feel you on that. I'm sorry that she ghosted you. I mean... What else is a guy supposed to do if the girl ghosts him? Just move on to the next one?
Are girls bad with their phones? Because I'm not, dude. Like, I mean, I ain't got no, you know, DMs out the wazoo. But my God, you know, I'm looking at my phone at least 25/8.
People say I'm bad on the phone.
You actually are bad at your phone, though.
And it's not that I'm bad at it. If you want to really talk to me, just call me and I'll answer probably 90% of the time. A text, I read it. If it's not interesting to me, I'm like, all right, on to the next one. I got shit I got to do. You know,
is it almost like look at it and then, okay, maybe I'll just worry about that later and then you just forget about it? Is that what's going on?
Maybe sometimes if it's like
if it's a question, we're talking about a question here.
Well, if it's a question, I'll probably answer it if I look at it right then. Sometimes I am the guy that just be like, hey, you know, I'm on my phone and I just look at it and don't answer it. But then like there's sometimes I'm not on my phone's not on me because I'm like, you know, recording or doing something else or, you know.
Well, maybe I got to throw this rectangular thing out the window. This thing is fucking with my mind, man. Golly, man. Lays taking applications. I'm done, dude. We like to talk about basketball. We got like one topic that we're talking about before the interview here.
You know, kind of a quieter week around the NBA, but there was one hot topic that we kind of got on our eye that happened earlier this week. Inside the NBA, Shaq and Charles at halftime pretty much came out and said he's not a superstar yet because he can only affect the game in one way. Basically, he's only a scorer. And if you're a superstar, you have to, you know, affect the game in multiple ways and whatnot. What's your take on this? And then I'll kind of follow it up.
I don't know. It's Shaq, man. It's a guy who's, you know, he's come up from a dad that was in the military. That's how he was raised. It's Shaq and Charles. These are some old heads, man. And I think they're allowed to, you know, construct criticism to these younger guys. And in Shaq's defense, and I also agree with him right here, I think more of this is needed in today's basketball because Shaq is just pretty much looking at like, hey, I'm telling you this because he's almost acting like a father figure. I'm telling you this to get you motivated. And he's also saying that, and if you don't do it, then, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right about that player. But for them to say that he's not a superstar, one, he's too young. If he's 30 years old or something like that, and you're like, you got to do this and that, then maybe. But I can see both sides of it. But I'm more on Shaq's side, where I'm just like, hey, this is going to motivate you. All right, brother, I'm just letting you know what I see. And at least he told him straight to his face.
I was on the side of like, what the fuck is Shaq and Charles even talking shit about another player in the NBA? But after reviewing some clips and watching how it, you know, kind of unfolded, I'm totally on their side now. I think they are just trying to push a young player that has the potential to become a superstar and needs to be a superstar for his team. So I'm totally on their side, to the point that he does affect the game mostly with his scoring, is, and that's fine. Donovan Mitchell, I mean, he's a good player. And I think you're right on that, saying he is young. He has the potential to grow into the superstar in the next couple of years. This is just them trying to push a guy that they see potential in.
It was just the way that Shaq said it. Could have maybe have said it in a different way, but that's just who Shaq is. I'm sure he would be ecstatic for D. Mitch to absolutely go off. But kind of what Charles Barkley was saying after that interview was like, hey, man, I was on, I guess, was he on that Sixers team with Moses and Irving? And he kind of was that third guy. And then, you know, they kind of got up. He got his game up after a couple years. And now there was more criticism zoomed in on himself as a player, looking more at the negatives. That just means that you're a great player. Maybe Shaq could have said it in a different way, but at the same time, players are going to get that microscope on them. It is what it is. I agree with Shaq. Agree with Charles. I'm just excited to watch TNT the next time they come on. I don't know if it's tonight on Saturday night or it's one of these nights. And I think that's going to be a big segment that they talk about.
And it almost reminded me of what they did to Joel Embiid last year, calling him out because he was on the sideline eating a fucking cheeseburger before the game and was like, hey, I mean, you have the potential, if you want to come out every night and dominate this game, and you don't do it. And so they said something to him, and what Joel Embiid, the next two games, popped up a 30-point, almost triple-double in both of those games. And I'm sure Shaq and Charles are respected by most NBA players because they've been there and done that. So to hear them say that, it kind of lights that fire and be like, hey, I got to evolve my game and change my game, not just by scoring. So.
And Shaq's not afraid to say that to guys, too. We've seen him talk about Rudy Gobert, James Harden. He's responded to him. Paul George earlier this season said, you know, he played terribly in the bubble. When you're watching inside the NBA, that's pretty much what you're going to get. You're going to get guys bickering at each other. You're going to get entertainment. I love watching the post-game interviews, and those guys are just straight up real to those players because, like you said, they've been there and they have done that.
But without further ado, we're excited to bring on fan favorite and Vanderbilt basketball legend, Derek Byers, DB. What's good, my guy? Appreciate you talking to the Nashville boys and showing some love, man.
No problem, Andy. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's our pleasure. Glad we could come to a full circle here. We know many of our friends and listeners are excited to see and hear what you're up to now. But, DB, before we break everything down, man, for the people that are listening, there's one day that I'll never forget. That's okay. Summer 06, DB, Andy basketball camp, championship game. Dan Cage is coaching our team. You got your squad. We know Coach Stallings is in the corner. I hit a go-ahead buzzer beater, and you called me out of bounds, man. What's up with
that?
Wow. I ain't never going to forget that day, DB.
It was me that did that?
Yeah, it was you. Don't act like it wasn't you.
I think I remember that, though. I didn't know that was me, though. I thought that was – so Dan was coaching?
Dan was coaching our squad. Oh, I think, man, you had your squad. I don't know. I went to so many of those Vandy camps, and I was like, well, let me be on DB's team, man. Come on. You're the one calling all the cheap shots out here. That's the way we're going to win out here, man.
Hey, now, I love those camps, too.
Man, it was a good time, right? But, nah, man, I mean, for real, though, you and those guys on that team, man, were incredible to us, you know, giving back to the community, taking pictures after games. You know, being a mentor towards others, man. And I know that I can speak on behalf of a bunch of the Vanderbilt community. And we just want to say thank you, man. Thank you for everything you did for Memorial Magic and the city of Nashville itself.
Nah, no problem at all, man. I appreciate you guys, everybody, the city, the community, Vandy fans, everybody, man. I went back in 2019, a couple years ago, for the award that I received. And everybody showed me so much love. It felt great to be home. So I appreciate you guys, too.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Before we get in to your career at Vandy, let's talk about kind of your journey getting there and then some, right? Because okay. We know your career didn't really stop after college. You're in Memphis right now, so we all know that you're a Memphis guy. You had an outstanding, outstanding high school career. I believe you won 2 state championships, right, at Ridgeway?
Correct, correct.
We were going, we were seeing your social media. You guys were like throwing lobs off the glass, lobs and stuff.
What y'all doing over there?
You guys are making these high school players look silly, right?
We did, man. It was showtime. Anytime we got there on the court, we loved playing with each other, played a good brand of basketball. And yeah, man, those were really fun times for sure.
Right. Hey, not to mention your GPA, you had an outstanding high school GPA. A 3.9. I would pay a lot of money to get a 3.9 GPA somewhere. But Andy mentioned you were kind of, you know, a mentor to him and like myself as well. But who was kind of that mentor for you kind of growing up? I guess both on the floor and kind of in the classroom as well.
Yeah, man, I had quite a few people. Obviously, you know, my parents, my dad, my mom, they instilled a lot of stuff in me. So I got to start with them. In terms of like on the court, I had some great coaches. My junior high coach, Coach Jones, my high school coach, Coach Henning. These guys went above and beyond the just the role of being a coach. You know, they were always there checking on me outside of the court as well. And I would say that my high school idol, so to say, well, growing up was like Penny Hardaway. He was my, you know, childhood hero. He was the hometown hero. Everybody wanted to be like him. So he was kind of that standard that I wanted to kind of try to aim for growing up in Memphis.
Man, it was always the Memphis schools that won the state championships. What's up with you guys? Had some talent over there, man.
Yeah, we did. And what I didn't like about it, though, actually, was we had this thing where it was called a sub-state, meaning only two teams from Memphis would go to the state championship, two from the east side, but four from Middle Tennessee. And I'm like,
yeah,
why is it only two from Memphis? It should be at least four from Memphis.
Right.
Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't like that way that we were doing it. So with that being said, you had to be like the best of the best coming out of Memphis. Like you were, it was two teams coming from West Tennessee every year, and you know they were for real.
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, obviously your high school kind of career gave you this platform to continue to play at this next level in college. You started your career at Virginia though, right? Before deciding to transfer to Vanderbilt. What made you make that decision, and kind of walk us through how you did you end up at Vandy and why you decided to transfer?
Yeah, so I committed to Virginia right before my senior season started. I wanted to get that out of the way so I can just focus on winning another state championship. I had a Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and UConn visit lined up after my Virginia visit, but I committed right after my visit to Virginia because 9/11 happened like the next week and just a lot of craziness was going on. So I was like, man, let me just get this out of the way. They're losing Roger Mason to the NBA. They're losing two senior wing players. So I felt like it was an opportunity for me to step right in. ACC, number one public school academically in the country. I felt like, hey, why not? And then I get there. 2 years I spent there. You know, it started out great. I was starting. And, you know, for lack of a better term, I just didn't get along with some of my coaches. Plans for me, so to say, and I had some things going on back home as well in Memphis. So wanted to get back closer to home. Vandy provided that opportunity for me. And so it was kind of between Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. And right when I was about to commit to Ole Miss, because Vandy didn't have any scholarships available and my family wasn't in a position to afford, you know, a scholarship, you know, to pay for me to go there. And so right when I was about to commit to Ole Miss, Vandy had a scholarship opening, and the rest was history.
Yeah, clearly the rest was history, man. So let's talk about it. Yeah. When you go to Vandy, obviously it's with the NCAA mandatory rules. You have to sit out for that junior year. And then the next year you come as a start, you come off the bench and come as a starter off rip. I guess I know that year that you had to sit out, Derek, the team was still fairly young, kind of like what you were talking about, Virginia. The team was still young. You had a couple seniors that left. Mario Moore became a senior, but then the other guys like Shane Foster, Red, Damari Carroll, those guys are just now sophomores, right? So
Right.
Right. Yeah. So coming into that season with Vandy and actually playing on the floor, I guess, how did it feel sitting out a year to not only be able to play, but to actually go ahead and get in the groove of things and start for the team? And then how did you become such a strong leader for that team?
Yeah, good questions. I feel like I needed a reset button. You know, it took a lot. It took a toll on me mentally when I was at Virginia. A lot of different things that went on. I just kind of felt I just needed a reset button. I also used that year to reconstruct my shoulder. I had surgery on that. So that allowed me some time to kind of wait that out, because otherwise, if I jump right back in, I wouldn't have had time for my surgery to heal. So it allowed me to just build a bond with my teammates off the court. Red, Shane, Damari, all those guys you mentioned, Julian Terrell, Mario Moore, so forth. But these guys were coming in as freshmen. They had to play right away. And I think it just allowed those guys to get some experience early. And the next year, when I was a redshirt junior on the court, it allowed me to just already have chemistry with these guys from, you know, the entire year that I had already spent with them previously. So that junior year, it was still kind of Shane Foster had a really good freshman year, really good sophomore year. So we were just kind of leaning toward him as our primary scorer. But yeah, that's kind of how that unfolded.
Right, and it only went up from there. I mean, junior years, you know, you guys get the groove, but then it ultimately led to your senior year where, my God, Derek Byers almost came out of nowhere into a whole nother person here. So I know, Derek, I was looking at your Instagram. I was the Instagram picture that you were talking about, how you came back in 2019. I read that, and I was like, man, I didn't know he had a bunch of doubters, but apparently there were a bunch of doubters. But obviously, man, you get voted by the coaches as the SEC Player of the Year, unanimously selected, all, you know, all these accolades, pretty much beat number one ranked Florida. And then I guess the question here is, what was the biggest difference between your junior year and your senior year to allow your game to accelerate to that next level and then lead your guys to a Sweet 16? Should have been Elite Eight, but Sweet 16.
Yeah, I know, right, man, crazy. That summer, I worked my butt off more than any other offseason ever. Probably even after that. I mean, I got up a ton of shots. I worked on my body, added like at least 15, 20 pounds of muscle so that I wouldn't get banged around from anybody. And I just wanted to be physically dominant on the court. I didn't want to like be pushed around by anybody. And I think that also led to a mentality of dominance, so to say. And I think I also went to Brazil with some other SEC guys, Lee Humphrey, some other guys during that offseason that allowed me to just kind of work on my game against some other competition. I think I averaged like 20 something points there and just kind of got in the groove of being somebody who can score. I think my junior year, I was the primary defender. I was the guy who coach would put on the best player. Mm-hmm. And so it went from that to, okay, this is your final year. You got to get something done if you want to get to the NBA. You have to make your mark offensively as well. And I just, all of that just kind of clicked at the right time. It led to my mentality of trying to step up and lead.
When was it that you first noticed, I guess, NBA interest, that you got the, you know, people were talking and had some buzz around your name? And when did you kind of get that feeling of like, dang, I could, you know, possibly play in the NBA and, you know, get drafted?
Right. So, I mean, I'd be a liar if I said I wasn't looking online and seeing what the buzz was and who's talking about who and things like that. I was always
college
on those
kid.
Sites.
Yeah, I mean, that's what college kids do, right?
right. That's what I was doing. So I didn't see my name anywhere heading into my senior season. And I'm like, well, I was an All-American in high school. I was the Gatorade Player of the Year in my state. I won two state titles, all this stuff that, you know, I don't get hung up on, but I'm like, dang, like, give me some credit about, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's a team sport, and I've always been a team player, but, you know, you still want your due credit. So I know Virginia, I didn't stand out statistically or anything like that, but I always felt like I always held my own against the guys that they were talking about. So now I'm heading into my senior season. Nobody's mentioning me in the preseason. I'm on no pre-SEC teams or anything like that. So I kind of took that, you know, as Michael Jordan said in that documentary last year, like I kind of took that to heart and it just kind of fueled something in me. So I started seeing my name on these mock draft boards about, you know, in non-conference play, round November, December. And I was like, hey, you know, I finally see my name. And then now it's conference play. Now I'm starting to see my name move up on the boards and things like that. That's when I started to feel like it was real.
Right. So let's talk about it. That draft night, you did get drafted 42nd in 2007 NBA draft by the Portland Trail Blazers. We got to know how you kind of felt on draft night, because everyone, you know, doesn't get to experience, you know, those magic words of, you know, their name getting called on that stage. Kind of what was the one thing that kind of stuck out for you, or was there something that you, you know, will forever remember about that night from being drafted and getting your name called?
Yeah, I mean, my experience was a little different. Every kid who wants to play basketball dreams of that moment that David Stern or Adam Silver now says their name. And it was no different for me. But I really felt like I was in a position to have my name called earlier. I think a lot of these prognosticators and all these scouts and everybody predicted that I would go a little higher. And I approached the pre-draft process as such. I wanted to go against Orlando Tucker, Aaron Aflalo, Corey Brewer, all these other wing players that everybody's talking about going high. It was a disappointment. It was a disappointment for me. I mean, no way to hide around that. So I was at Madison Square Garden during the draft and expected to hear my name called earlier. It wasn't. And so in that moment, I really couldn't process, like, all right, you should be grateful. You should be thankful. You heard your name called. All I was looking at was, I thought it was going to be here. Everybody thought it was going to be here. And then I dropped in so many people's eyes. And, you know, for a 23-year-old, man, that was disappointing. On top of that, I went to a team that had 8 wing players under guaranteed deals. So we weren't able to facilitate any sort of trade or anything like that to try to get me in a better position. So I didn't really like the situation I went into. I felt like I was working from a deficit from day one, right, if I'm right. honest.
That's interesting.
That's a good answer. I mean, that's a great answer. But let's talk about your professional career a little bit. You were mostly played a lot overseas, right? We know you played in places like Greece, France, and Germany. What was their favorite place, team that you played with or played at? And take us through that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I played overseas. I played a lot in the G League as well. I've been to over 40 countries. I've had numerous teammates. I can't say that every situation ended up being a great one or a good situation or anything like that. But what it did was taught me a lot. I got a chance to build a lot of relationships and things like that. To answer your question, I would say that Berlin stands out. Berlin, Germany stands out as one of the better cities I've been to. You know, a lot of people speak English there. It's kind of easy to assimilate yourself. And right. The arena was like a top-notch arena, everything like that. So Berlin stands out. Seville, Spain was beautiful. I got a chance to play with a lot of guys there. Kristaps Porzingis, Willie Hernan Gomez.
Oh, that's cool.
Some other guys who got drafted. So yeah, I mean, it was been a lot of places, man.
You've been around the whole world, Derek. Come on, man.
Yeah, Europe, at least, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, at least in Europe. Well, we know you balled out for. I mean, you're still balling right now, but it's a funny time, Derek, because I think it was 2012. I was a senior in high school. I can't remember where you came from. You're somewhere in Europe, but then you had a chance to go to the Spurs, and I think you played a couple of games, but then it was the Grizzlies, and I actually saw you practice at Memphis, okay, at Innsworth in Nashville. And yep. you were like the only guy shooting extra shots, you know, while, you know, after practice is done. You I guess Gasol and Mike Miller was on that team as well. And
yep.
I mean, we know you. The Nashville boys know you. I mean, everybody and their moms knows you can play basketball, man. What is up with these NBA teams not signing you to a full? I guess it was hard for the Spurs because they had Tony Parker and all that at the time. But God,
that's
frustrating for me to see too.
It was frustrating. I admit it was frustrating that year in particular that you're talking about. So you got my hometown team, the Memphis Grizzlies, and like you said, training camp was in Nashville. We were practicing at Innsworth. I mean, I thought the odds were pretty good to make that team. I mean, they only had, I think, Tayshaun Prince, Tony Allen, and Mike Miller on the wings, really, that I really felt like I could have carved out a niche there, but it wasn't meant to be.
Right. They don't know who Derek Byers is, man.
All right, so let's talk about this new league that you're a part of. Connie, you've been, I think you're the only player that has played in all of the seasons start to finish for the Big Three. You went on to the Big Three, shout out Fourth Man Pod, but it's a all-exclusive Big Three, you know, podcast. But you kind of talked about your career and how you got started with the Big Three. Kind of take us through, you know, how you got your invite and, you know, how you really got started with the Big Three.
I will, yeah. So I think I'm the only non-captain that has played all 3 years. I haven't gotten a captainship yet.
Give it to him, man. Give it. He wants the captain.
I know, right?
Look at that face. He wants it.
Yeah, I've been around, but Big Three is very innovative. Ice Cube, Jeff Quatnitz, his business partner, they created a great thing that was driving a lot of attention and audiences during the off season of the NBA. So during the summers, basketball is an interesting thing. So I just mentioned Roger Mace's name, as he was a guy who left Virginia, where I felt like, okay, I'm going to come in and I'm going to play at Virginia, where I committed to. So Roger Mason gets appointed as the commissioner of the Big Three. He was the first guy I reached out to, like, hey, man, like I read on the news what's going on. What is this league? I see Allen Iverson, Kenyon Martin, all these guys a part of it. How can I get on, basically? And he sent me the registration or whatever to sign up. I went out to the tryouts and, man, yeah. I approached that thing like I'm one of the least known guys here. They know Rashad McCants. They know these guys. Like, these are the name guys. And I just wanted my game to speak for myself, man. So I went out there and I just had a good camp. I'll just say that. And so I was drafted 7th overall with that. Nice. And it's been a good deal. It's been a good thing to be a part of the last 3 summers. Well, excluding last summer, of course.
Right. Derek, what's the biggest difference between playing in the Big Three and, I don't know, 5-on-5 competitive basketball?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got the half court. So it's half court, not full court for guys that are older. I think the biggest difference for me, and one of the reasons I've been able to kind of do my thing a little bit in it, is 3-on-3, your chances of touching the ball is greater, obviously, as opposed to being in 5-on-5 and you're a wing player. Just go to the corner. The point guard is going to operate, and you got to be ready for a catch and shoot. You know what I mean? So now I get to do some of the things that I'm better at. At Vandy, I moved out the ball really well. We had a Princeton offense that first year, and then the next year we had a kind of a deviation of the Princeton offense. So we had that, but also pick and choose your spots. So I think in the Big Three, man, I'm just able to move without the ball. There's more gaps. There's more isolation opportunities, which I feel great about.
I mean, you're putting you're breaking ankles on the Big Three, man. We see what you're doing over there.
Yeah, man. You know, I had to do it, man. I had to do it. So I think it presents those types of opportunities. I don't have those same type of opportunities when 5-on-5 ball, when guys just they like to relegate me to the corner or things like that. And I feel like I've proven myself to handle the ball as well in certain times.
Right. So, nice. Like you mentioned earlier, Big Three ended kind of in 2019 as the 2020 season was kind of completely canceled, right? And then they're hopeful that it's going to return for its 4th season this summer, correct?
Correct. That's from what I've heard. Ice Cube plans to have it regardless of what happens, and they're going to be they're going to figure out a way to do that.
Okay. So, what have you been doing since, I guess, 2019 is your last real basketball competitively? Are you still planning on playing in the Big Three this upcoming year? Or what's kind of, you know, your next steps as Byers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm approaching it like this could probably be my last run, and I feel good about my body, my health, the way I'm moving right now. Still, I still feel great. I still feel like I can play, but I'm about to be 37 in a couple months, and this is not something. You know, Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf is out there 51 still getting buckets. You know what I mean? I can't imagine. I mean, that's a lot of discipline to be able to still be able to do that. I can't imagine doing that at that age. He's different. But, yeah, I mean, if they'll have me, I'll play as long as they'll have me for. So I'm approaching it like this could be the last run, or it could have been the last run in 2019. So I'll gear up for that and I'll be ready if they have another season this year.
And are they, is there a new rule with the Big Three, something about G League guys playing in the Big Three, or can they do both, or is that speculation?
Yeah, so that first year, it was only NBA experienced guys, and I think the minimum age was 30. The next year, it was like the age was 27, and then you can be an overseas player. Then the next year, it was like anybody, you can work at Walmart or whatever, and you can play, you know what I mean? So they opened it up to a lot of different guys, so it made the competition stiffer.
Right.
For that first year, I think I was 33. I was one of the younger guys. It helped me out. And now it's like, I'm one of the older ones. So,
well, we see what you're doing, Derek. You're crossing ankles still, man. Don't act like 37 old, man. But we know you got a wife and two kids. We get it. We get it. But,
Right.
Man, Derek Byers. We got Derek Byers. Once again, you're tuning in to Man to Man on Dash Radio. We got DB in the house, man. Before we let you go, Derek, we do this with everybody. Just quick rapid fire questions, whatever comes to mind first. You know, let us hear it, man.
All right, cool. I'm game for that.
All righty, cool. Favorite food in the fridge, what you got?
Favorite food in the fridge, anything that's Italian. Anything that's Italian.
Big pasta guy?
Big pasta, wrap, you know, lasagna, all that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Best party you've been to? You had any Vandy parties back in the day? Or you got some NBA parties or what, man? Come on, man.
Best parties. Shoot,
you going to the Vandy fraternities?
Hurricanes used to jump. Hurricanes, that one club in Nashville back in the day, right down 2nd Avenue, that thing used to jump.
You used to hit Hurricanes? You were a Hurricane?
All the time. Oh, me, Damari Carroll, and Red Gordon, Shane Foster, all of us, man. We would be there.
You know who I saw? Ronnie Mack the other day, bro. And
yo, you did tell Ronnie Mack. I said, "What's up?" If you see him again, out there.
I will. Him and the other guy. I don't think it's Corey Smith. It's a Corey, another guy. But Ronnie
Corey,
Mack,
CA, Corey Allen,
Corey Allen, bro. He is always at Midtown, bro. He is always Midtown hitting.
Midtown
up.
Is different now, man. All that they got the
I know.
They got all that out there. That one spot in Midtown, the breakfast place, all that. I like it.
Yeah, man. It's been crazy. Ronnie's still going to Midtown with his girl. He's still over in the Vandy area. It's funny to see. It's still a vibrant city down here. But
I see.
Man.
Got the gulch, all that, man. I'm like, we didn't have no gulch when I was here. What is this?
I lived over on 12th South. It's not like what it is today. But all right, here we go. Most nervous moment in your life, or maybe one of the most.
Dude,
I know you don't seem like a nervous guy, but
not really. But
had any jitters or anything? Maybe playing against Florida or anything like that.
Nervous in basketball, I do know. I was playing against Michigan State as a freshman, and Dick Vitale was there. And I'm growing up watching Dick Vitale. Now he's at the game, and I'm crapping bricks, man, because that place was rocking. I'm starting as a freshman. I think I had a good 2 points that game. Hey. I was nervous for real.
All right. What about this is more of our serious one, man, but we just like to hear what guys say about it. If you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say? If I don't know if you even want the world's attention for 30 seconds, but what would you say? DB, enlighten the world.
That's
here,
a good
man.
Point, man. It's a serious one, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I'm somebody who is, I'm big on positivity, I'm big on love. There's nobody I'm jealous of at all in the world. There's nobody I'm envious of. There's no hate. And I feel like the world doesn't have enough of that. There's a lot of people looking to the left and to the right of them. Mm-hmm. What's he up to? And I think there's a lot of people that like to elevate themselves while putting somebody else down and not bringing the other person along with them. I'm not like that at all. There's so many people that I've tried to help with no expectation in return. There is, I always wish well for people. And I feel like I would love to see a lot of that, a lot more of that in the world these days. I mean, togetherness, love, unity, that's what I'm on. So I would like to see that.
Something we all need right now, right?
Exactly.
And DB, we saw it from you, man. We saw it from you, and you know, at your time at Vandy, and we appreciate it again. What about a dream car? You got a dream car?
Dream car. Nah, I'm not doing it already.
I said, do you have it already?
Did I have it already? Nah, I always wanted like a Range Rover when I was growing up and things like that. And now you see things shifting toward electric vehicles and things like that. The world's just moving, man. So got to move with it. So I really, I don't know. I got my eye on that Rolls Royce truck, man.
Maybe one day. Of course you do, man. I got my eyes on the Rolls Royce truck too, dog.
Those are nice. I like those.
What about one person you could eat dinner with, dead or alive?
Dead or alive?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Kobe Bryant. That jersey right behind
you.
I
knew you were going to say that. Like, come on.
That's my favorite player of all time. And I was fortunate to meet him once or twice. And obviously, I'm fortunate what happened almost a year ago to this date. But, you know, if I could spend more time with him than I did, that would have been the person I chose probably.
Yeah, we saw that picture of you and Kobe when you were younger. Super cool, man. RIP to a legend. What about you're in Miami, right? You reside in Miami?
Yeah.
A favorite place to go in Miami? I know you don't really go at a lot of places right now with COVID, but favorite place?
Right. Man, I just be at the gym all the time. I'm just trying to think.
Come on, man. You say your place, people going to show up there and take pictures with you.
Right. Everybody talks about South Beach. You know, that's where a lot of the stuff is happening out there. Brickell is a growing area of Miami, right off downtown, and Midtown is growing as well. So no particular place at all. I would say I really just be in the gym all the time.
Be in the gym, man. Jordan or MJ, who you got? I'm sorry. Jordan or LeBron?
Oh, okay. Jordan.
All day.
No question.
No question about it. I'll tell you what, we got to watch the documentary for guys like me and got to see what it was all about. And so I appreciated that. And I was like, okay, it's gotta be Jordan at this point. Okay. Yeah. We ask everybody this. Derek is our last one. Best NBA show out there. NBA The Jump, Inside the NBA, or The Boys over at Man to Man.
The Boys over at Man to Man, of course.
Come on, man. You already hear Vandy legend, Derek Byers, man. We appreciate you coming on the show. Derek, before we let you go, man, where can people keep up with you on social?
I appreciate you having me. Social, my Twitter is OfficialDB. One of my business pages on Instagram is Byers Basketball. So you guys can follow me on there as well.
Cool. Yeah. We will link that, man. DB, again, we appreciate it, man. Nashville community loves you, man. It's all love over here, and we'll keep in touch, and you take care, brother, all right?
No doubt, man. You guys be easy.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, man.
All right, thanks for having me.
Man, Derek Byers, man. Stud in the wall. Like you were mentioning, man, with the Fourth Man Pod, shout out to those guys who are also on Dash. They, you know, talk about Big Three, two dudes like us. And they had Derek Byers on, and I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't seen Derek. I tell you, dude, I went to all the Vandy camps. All of our friends down here in Nashville went to all the Vandy camps. That team, 05, 06, 07, when he was there, was just, I mean, they killed it. Shane Foster beat the number one ranked team in Florida. And it was just a kind of a cool thing to talk to Derek again. And he don't remember who I am, but I think he remembers my dad. But man, he's gone through that whole Vandy community from one person to the very last. So we appreciate DB again. That's Derek Byers, young stud in the wall, plays for the Big Three with Baron Davis and those guys. So hopefully we'll you know, keep in touch with him and talk to him again, right?
Right, yeah. Great to have him on. I mean, that was honestly somebody, like we mentioned earlier in the episode, both looked up to, you know, as a younger guy, you know, aspiring to be a basketball player like we both were at that age. You know, anybody of that stature, you know, doing it and being on a really good team and just doing everything right, you know, on and off the court, you really do look up to people like that. And it was cool to, you know, kind of get back in touch with him and seeing what he's up to. And the Big Three, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't watch a ton of it. But, you know, now, you know, we got a little connection there. I'll definitely tune into a couple more games.
We're going to send Byers some merch. Maybe you can rock a hoodie for pregame, Big Three, you know. They'll probably just not have any fans, kind of what the NBA is doing right now.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, it was good to have him on. But, I mean, I guess with that, man, we're going to get out of here. and bring this episode to a wrap. Make sure to go follow us on all social platforms. That's at Man to Man Podcast. Tune into, you know, our episode next week. But with that,
get your damn merch.
Yeah, get your damn merch out here,
and share with your moms, dude. Listen, we need the moms to get involved. I don't know. We're probably not going to stop saying this unless the moms are involved. If you can show us proof that one mom, you got one mom to, you know, like basketball and somehow like our podcast, we're done. We'll just quit the podcast.
Listen, I wouldn't say that. Don't say that, because then we might have to quit next week.
We might have to quit, and then actually, but listen, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe we can go visit Byers in Miami and do like our own pod thing, and post up somewhere in front of the local gym or something.
Yeah, that would be cool. But with that, man, I'm a namaste. I'm out of here. All right, namaste to you guys. Namaste.
Namaste, Pacer Nation. Broggy with the game winner in OT.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.